Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast.
I have something that I want to bring up. We had talked about it yesterday.
Is pouting.
I'm not pouting. I'm bringing up the facts. Yes. The facts were that you said yesterday, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, maybe. With me starting instead of you starting.
Right.
Because you were sitting over there, I mean, just seconds ago. I am trying to build the podcast real fast, like during the show. And when we get done with it, I only have like a couple more minutes of things that I need to do. And so in that in-between time of the show ending to the aftercast starting, he will sit there on TikTok and watch all these videos that will fuel his anger about things that liberals are doing, okay? And so I thought this is the perfect time because you are so seated in anger right now. Why don't I start with my story?
It doesn't look angry to me.
And then we go to... That doesn't matter. That's just his,
that can change.
He always looks angry. Yeah. So okay. Here's what I need to say to you.
It's where I need you to trust me. Okay, that's where I need you to trust me.
I
was watching TikToks about the Columbia campus anti-Semitic.
You've been watching that all morning.
Yeah, and it's very bothersome.
And you've been saying things.
It's very bothersome. But I was not intending to go with that today until you brought it up.
Let me start.
I wasn't gonna
talk. You can talk
honest,
about
truthful.
It,
I'm
but
not.
Let
no,
me start.
I actually felt like today. I literally in my head right before you started this was like, I don't feel like doing that today. I'm going to my friend's funeral today, and I don't feel like. I'm worn.
Oh,
today.
Look what you've done
no,
to him.
So
yes.
Here's
what he's
gonna talk about the funeral.
No,
that's
I'm not.
Coming up, and then he's gonna say, and it's a really downer day, and I'm just sad.
No, I'm literally.
All right, Daddy Rock, on
yeah,
you.
No, literally. The story I have was based on an email about Lauren Daigle was my story today. So that was it. Like, literally, I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to do DeSantis challenging the Satanic Temple.
Then why did you print it
TikTok?
Out?
Oh, because they were interesting. And
because you were going to talk about it.
Light reading at home.
Exactly. You weren't going to talk about it until you said you weren't.
No, so here's the thing. Here's the email I got. Would you like to go first? You can go first if you want.
What do you... No, she's going first because she wants to go first.
No, I'll let you go first. It'll be my plan.
What's the win for you here?
I don't know. I'll go first.
Well, this is where you go.
Okay. So, Taylor Swift, she came out with an album, her first album in a while, I guess 2 years.
Yeah, we say a while. Some bands go forever.
Yeah.
Taylor's just pumping them out right now.
Yeah. Have you listened to her album?
No. My wife has. I know some people who
really?
Have.
I have a streaming service, so I could stream it for free. I choose not to. Although I did stream one of her other albums, and it still pops up every once in a while. I'm like, no skip.
I think I'm just waiting for a song to be popular on TikTok because I don't think I knew about the song like "It's Me, Hi." Like, and I don't love that song
as a whole song. It's horrible.
But I love it as a TikTok. So
yes.
I'm waiting for just a catchy line to end up on TikTok versus listening to the 14
yeah,
songs.
That one part of that song is
great.
Good. It's kind of like that Lizzo song that everyone, the rap from it, that was the only good part of that song is the little rap.
So this new album is called The Tortured Poets Department, okay?
Oof, that is emo.
And there's a song that's getting a lot of attention. It's called Thank You, Amy. And how she's titled it, everything is lowercase. All the letters are lowercase except for the K in thank and the I and the M in Amy. Those are in uppercase. So that would spell Kim, okay? So people are like, this is written for Kim Kardashian. Because if you remember a couple years back, they had a fight, and it was because
and she had to spell Amy weird too, so you know it's intentional. Because Amy, you would think it's A-M-Y, or what? How'd she spell it?
A-I-M-E.
Yeah, like that's a weird spelling of it.
Yeah,
so.
It is. So, anyways, they had a beef. It mainly did with Kim Kardashian's ex-husband Kanye West. He put out a song that put Taylor Swift in a bad light. And Taylor said that she did not approve of that. Then later, Kim Kardashian posted a video, a recording of a video that she, it was a conversation she was having with Taylor Swift. And it was Taylor Swift saying she was okay with Kanye doing what he did. So it made Taylor look bad. Anyways, that was all being filmed without Taylor realizing it. And
scandalous.
So now they have some beef. So in the Thank You, Amy song, I was reading the lyrics. She said, when I picture my hometown, there's a bronze spray tanned statue of you.
Oh.
Okay, so now we're thinking Okay.
She's spray tan.
Uh-huh. She said, all that time you were throwing punches, I was building something, and I can't forgive the way you made me feel. And it wasn't a fair fight or a clean kill each time that Amy stomped across my grave, and then she wrote headlines in a local paper laughing at each baby step I'd take. Then she takes it even further, and she says, I wrote 1,000 songs that you found uncool. I built a legacy that you can't undo. But when I count the scars, there's a moment of truth that there wouldn't be this if there hadn't been you. She goes on to say that at some point your kids are going to come home one day singing my songs, and we're both going to know it's about you. Right.
That's so funny. She's angry.
Yeah, that feels petty almost.
Like modern era Taylor is definitely like she's getting revenge on people. Before she was just the hurt little dove, and now she's getting proactive.
She started this thing that a lot of girls are saying, and guys too on TikTok, where they say, I'm in my so-and-so era.
Yeah.
And so with her album that was before this one, I think that was the one that it was like, cotton candy-ish. It had like pink clouds, blue, purple. Like it was pastels. And then this new one that she's put out is in all black.
It's dark.
So, you know, she's going through her dark era.
This kid. I feel like, it's interesting because she doesn't write anything that's supposed to be crazy big radio hit anymore. That all just sounds like she ripped out a page from her, you know, journal and threw it down. And we call that music, which it sounds fine. And there was some rhyming in there.
Yeah. Well, since that release of the album and the song has gotten some hits, Kim Kardashian has lost 100,000 followers on her social
media. Swifties.
Which is not a big deal for Kim. She's got millions of followers.
Right.
But Taylor Swift fans are feeling like they need to pick a side, and they have
Taylor. I am curious, if you guys have seen this. Somebody challenged me the other day with an email. They're like, I can't believe you talk about Taylor Swift on the show, and she's a witch and stuff like that. Like, what?
I didn't know that.
There's one. Somebody sent me a link that had like some concert footage. Have you seen this where she's all decked out in red, and it looks like a ritual kind of thing, like they're carrying somebody out and then carrying somebody off, and it does look like a weird evil ritual. And I'm like, is that in the new show? Was that an old thing? Was it video? Because you just don't know what to believe anymore online. Mm. Like, is it a deep fake? Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't seen any of that. But it's weird. Like, I would have thought with all of the stuff that gets shown about her concert, that would have shown up somewhere, you know, unless all the Swifties, she goes before she goes and does songs, just, hey, I'm going to do this song about Satan real quick. We all know you're down with this. Don't share this for me, please, fellow coven women. Okay. And so, like, is that what's happening here?
It's not the egregious, very out, outright devil costume.
The Sam Smith one.
Wore
but
a
it,
few years
but
ago.
It harkens to that, which was in the video I saw. It made me think instantly of that. It was really weird. And I'm like, if I'm going to a concert and I'm paying to see drama, I don't want to see this. Like, this, even if it's a Swiftie, I'm like, just sing the 22 song, you know? But I'm just curious if you guys had seen that.
I haven't. No. But I also think that Taylor's following are and given to, like, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but I do love the drama.
Sure.
And so
you're here for everybody else's drama.
Oh, for sure. But I think that she has created a bunch of followers that love drama. So she's putting on a production. She's putting on something that, you're there for the songs, but you're also there for the show.
Oh, sure.
The drama.
The moment.
Yes.
She's part of something bigger than even her music. I will say, in her defense, I still, even to like right now, I don't know what Kim Kardashian does. Like,
she doesn't do anything.
Exactly.
She started Skims,
yeah,
which is like a thing that kind of sucks in all the fat
it
for
spanks.
Women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and she started a bunch of different things. Her sisters have done modeling, different campaigns.
Kim's
stuff.
A model.
And they have that reality show.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. But I think right now,
business person.
Taylor is conquering the world of, like, you know, she feels a lot more relevant right now, and I think that her music will hold on to, like you said, like to her kids, and they'll sing it. It'll hold on longer than Kim, but hopefully.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully they get over each other.
Well, speaking of women in the entertainment industry, do you mind if I do something?
Now we start.
Okay. No, I'm not done.
Okay.
Oh. So then Kim is so sad about this. She doesn't know if her legacy will continue. And all of us are in a deep sadness, depression, because we don't know where it'll go.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Molly, go ahead.
Yeah, not a problem. I can segue off of that. Come on, let's go. You're looking at the guy who used to have an endorsement. This is back in my mainstream days. So we had an endorsement from a company and they wanted us to do live endorsements. They wanted it to feel like it was part of the show. So we would finish talking about something and we would go into their endorsement. And one time we were talking about a murder and we used to challenge each other, my partner and I, to see who could actually do it. And this body that was in this house for days and whatever, and it was the company was like a finance company, and so I have to come out and I'm like, so have you ever had that dead body smell and you just can't get rid of it and you need a little extra cash to call 1-800-MORTGAGE-CENTRAL or whatever? And I know it's like so I can segue just about anything.
Okay.
Made it work. Lost that account, but made it work. This was an email I got from someone who said, hey, I wondered what your take is on this. Someone recently mentioned to me that Lauren Daigle is now a mainstream artist and not a Christian artist. I don't really get that from her music, though, or from the messages that she shares. The person told me they almost seemed hurt by it and compared it to Amy Grant, who and how she went mainstream. I love Lauren Daigle's music and the messages it shares. I feel that her story is inspiring. I was just curious what your take is on this. And so here's my honest take on this, okay? And from what little bit I know of the behind the scenes in the industry, there's no way I would call Lauren Daigle a mainstream artist. I think that Lauren Daigle has had a couple things that have gone a little wider than the Christian artist in mainstream, and she's gotten a little bit of notoriety, but nothing that I would think would consider her as a mainstream artist. Now, that said, I do know that her management wants her to become bigger than just the Christian format. Mm-hmm. They want her to fill up arenas. They want her to be the Taylor Swift of music that mm-hmm. has a faith perspective. You know, when you go see Lauren Daigle, regardless of if you were seeing her at a church or a, you know, arena, you're still going to get the same Lauren Daigle. She's this quirky, weird, wonderfully sweet, great musician. Mm-hmm. And she is, like this lady saying, she's not shying away from her faith at all. You know, but I don't see her. I don't see her ever being a mainstream artist, honestly. I don't see her.
I think she would have done it by now.
Yeah, I don't see her cracking that because she can't be mainstream enough because her faith isn't going to let her. Her heart's not going to let her. So she can't do what she needs to do enough to be a big mainstream. You know, my worry for her is that she gets caught in the middle. That's where it's dangerous, is that you kind of are in this water, you're kind of in the Christian thing, and you get caught in the middle and you don't serve either thing.
A little lukewarmish.
Yeah, because she had the hot hand in Christian music for a while, man. Her first album was killer. Like, I think it's a mistake of her people to try and broaden her. I think she should own Christian music, mm-hmm. and she could.
You Say was a huge song that got on every radio.
Right.
Like, I still heard that song on other radio. I don't hear new music on other radio stations.
No, and like she's making songs like Kaleidoscope Jesus, which have kind of a fun vibe to it, and you're trying to, okay, you see it and you go, oh, you're trying to have a little Jesus and make it be mainstream accessible because of the artistic nature of it.
Or is
you know?
She just making her own avenue in Christian music? Like to me, that is who she is that kind of hippie-ish, hippie vibe-ish, earthy girl that would write something called Kaleidoscope
Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems similar to how, like, in essence, like where Taylor Swift is at now is that she broke out of just writing the same hits that she always wrote, and now she kind of likes to do what she likes to do. It seems like
I think a music artist, they are a product. And products have a life cycle. I think you don't do your self-indulgent weirdo album until you've got about 3 good albums under your belt. Then you have that one. It happened to 10th Avenue North. I remember Mike did a solo album, or they did it. They did an album that they were like, no one's going to play this. And we know it because it was stuff they wanted to write and things they wanted to say that they knew would not be accepted on mainstream radio because it was too honest, you know? And so they knew that. But they had already had five albums in and had some success. They didn't have to suffer the loss of an album that was going to make them not feed their families, you know? But I think if she stopped doing Christian shows and Christian tours, then you got a huge problem. Honestly, I think. Like if she's like turning her back on that. Happened with Switchfoot. Switchfoot was kind of a Christian band, kind of a mainstream band, and then they got to where they wouldn't do Christian interviews. They didn't want to be part of that world. They kept saying, we're a band of people and we're Christians, but we're not a Christian band. And they walked away from it and they tried to purposely distance themselves. And then they had kind of a resurgence where they were coming back to the church and they needed kind of the church to help them and push things again. And so I would hate to see that situation happen for Lauren because I think she is incredibly talented. She's one of the best singers, bar none, you know, right now. Like, she's got a cool vibe, not even in just Christian music, just in general. She's great. I think the comparison here to Amy Grant, it's funny that they're like, Amy Grant went mainstream. Amy Grant got vilified, man, back in the day. Amy Grant had a song, Baby Baby, and then I think she had one more after that. Fine, did well on charts, but people back then crucified her. You're not a believer anymore. You're of the world. You're Satan's mistress. You know, like, it was crazy how much they vilified this really nice woman. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a really good woman, you know? And then when she had problems with her divorce, she was married to a lunatic. If you knew this guy, guy's a lunatic, man. I've hung out with him. Lunatic French. and so it's like I see kind of where I don't see where people just vilified her for that as well. It was kind of like the perfect storm. Oh, you're doing mainstream music and you're getting divorced. You've lost it. You're hurting our children. It was one of the saddest things. I haven't really interviewed Amy Grant before. I would love to interview her with the context of, I just want to talk about that time because I am fascinated by that and how you reconciled that and came out on the other side of that, you know. And she did actually just had a resurgence of hate against her. She had a family member that's in the LGBT community. And Amy hosted their wedding at her farm. I think it's like a Nice or something, okay? And there are radio stations that were like wanting to boycott her Christmas music. Amy Grant Christmas music is the best. Like, I love it. And there are radio stations that were like, we can't play her anymore. Like, wait, what? She's not making a statement for anybody. She's loving a person in her family that, like, she wants to still have a relationship with. That's a good thing. That's okay. It doesn't mean that she doesn't believe that it's not wrong. You know, you can love somebody despite what they do. Guess who did that? And guess who did it really well?
Jesus.
Good answer, okay. Gavin. You got it. Betty looked stumped. No, but like, that's what Jesus does. That's a perfect example of Jesus. He was at the places that sinners were. He welcomed sinners. The only time you saw Jesus get physically angry and say really bad stuff, it wasn't at sinners. It was at religious people, when you think about it. Mm-hmm. That's when he flipped the tables. He was flipping the tables at the money changers in the temple that were making a mockery of God. He called the Pharisees a brood of vipers, you know? But like, when people came to him with their brokenness and their sin, he was like, you're forgiven, sin no more. You know? Like that should be the picture of how we love. And so I was really frustrated for Amy that she went through all this all these years ago, and then she's just minding her own business. Like, she didn't put it out there. She didn't make a press release and it's a statement. Somebody got wind of it and then tried to trash her again. And you're just like, for the love, man. Like, let this lady just go off into her life and just let her live. You've done enough, you know, to this lady, not for her. Done enough to her. So anyway, all right, that's that. Birthdays. Yeah, what do you want to seg into? Do you want to always seg into birthdays for fun or your story for fun?
Especially for when we have kids that we're seeing.
I know.
Happy birthday.
Your call. You did this, Rock.
We don't do enough positive things.
We don't have any birthdays.
Oh, well, that worked out.
That's fine.
But we can answer a question.
We got time for a question. I'd love to do a question.
Brian asks, and I think this is one that we've answered before, but I'm going to add a little bit to it. Ooh, he asks, If you could successfully domesticate one wild animal for a pet, what would it be? Now, I'm going to add to that, how would you domesticate that wild animal? So think about, what is an animal that you could successfully domesticate, and then how would you do it?
It had to be a tiger.
Okay, why would you want to choose a tiger?
Because it's a giant cat, and I love cats. And, like, they're just so cool. And you've seen people try to domesticate them, and it doesn't work. Look at Siegfried and Roy. Look at Tiger King. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, so it's foolish to think you could do it. Yeah, it's foolish to think that you could do this.
What was his name? What was it? Joe?
Joe Dirt, no. The Tiger King. What was his name? I don't even remember. It's just the Tiger
King. It's totally Joe something.
Tiger King, real name.
Joe...
Joseph Allen Maldonado Passage.
Didn't he go by, was it Joe Exotic or something?
Joe Exotic. Okay. That's it.
Okay. So you want to be Joe Exotic.
That's not what I said at
that's
all.
That's what I heard.
That is not what I said at all. That was a weird dude, man.
Sorry, that was a weird dude.
So, yeah, I think it would be interesting because I've seen a guy that domesticated an alligator, which is crazy.
I saw one. He was, like, cuddling it. Yeah. It was crawling on his house. Chest, and he was just petting it.
Crazy. Like... I've seen other people on TikTok with like lynxes. One lady found a black panther when it was a baby and she raised it. And you're like, wow, and that thing is huge. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love that.
One swipe of the paw.
But yeah, just one time where it's like, oh, hey, whew, and you're done. Like,
but there's a chance that you're going to domesticate that thing. Well, now you got to think about, where's it going to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, if you have it in your, that's a giant litter box. That's a litter box the size of a baby's pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have to scoop it.
Do you need to go for a walk with it?
Yeah. Oh, and then freak people out.
Is your house big enough for it?
And you have to feed it, which is probably going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah. Maybe it's better just to domesticate a scorpion. They're smaller.
You just put it in a cage.
Yeah.
Or a glass box.
What about you, Rock?
Is he going to be another cat?
Bear.
No.
Oh.
I didn't even think about that. Bears.
Same questions, though.
You are Dwight Schrute, for the record.
Bears are bear. Bears beat Battlestar Galactica. I was going to go with either a squirrel or a raccoon.
I know you would want a raccoon. Their little hands are wonderfully creepy but cool.
I follow so many accounts where they have domesticated a raccoon. And they crack me up. Mm-hmm. You can put them in little sweaters. They sleep in these, like one lady has this whole room dedicated to two raccoons that she's domesticated. And they don't want the room. They want the desk that's inside. And they sleep in the drawer.
That's funny.
She has a little camcorder inside of it that films them the whole time. And he does the cutest things.
Yeah.
And I love it so much. But then a squirrel would be smaller, and I would feel like Bob Ross, and I could stick him in my pocket.
Sure.
Now, how would I do it? I think I would need a lot of peanut butter for either one of them.
Right.
I would want to make sure that I could put the raccoon in a stroller.
Oh, for sure.
So I could push it
around. Stroller mom.
Put little pajamas on him. How cute would that be? Yeah, because I don't want him to eat... Because raccoons, I think they actually eat meat.
Yeah, they'll eat anything. Like, they're a mess.
But squirrels wouldn't.
Oh, what do they call them? The trash cans?
No. Oh, trash pandas.
Trash pandas, yeah. That's, there's a reason for that.
Oh, yeah, so there's pros and cons to both. Because squirrels are smaller, and I think they're herbivores. Is that what you call them? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, they eat nuts. I've heard, I've known a person that owned a squirrel, and I've known a person that owned a raccoon. And they both love those pets. The squirrel would crawl all over you, like, super fast. Mm-hmm. Like, it would run up your leg, and you'd go to grab it, and before you knew it, it was back at your butt. You're like, what just happened? Like, thing was, like, lightning fast,
so
man.
Cute.
Yeah. Gavin?
I'm watching a video of a domesticated raccoon, though. It's cute.
Yeah.
I'm going fox.
Oh, okay. I saw a TikTok. If you just, like, on TikTok, you can see anything. Otters are my other favorite.
Otters.
Oh, they're so cute.
I would love otters.
Oh, 100%.
And their little squeaks that they make. Oh.
Yes, they're adorable. But there's a lady that found a fox, and she raised it, and, like, and loves her.
Fox in the
hound,
man.
Yeah.
Fox in the hound.
It's like dog adjacent to me. Because I thought about doing wolf, but those things are actually...
There's a dude on TikTok that raised a wolf he found. It was frozen. He picked it up. He picked it up out of the snow. It was a wolf cub, and he picked it up out of the snow, and it looked solid. And, like, he raised it, and now it's this massive thing.
That's the thing, is that I think you'd go fox because they aren't huge. Like, wolves get big.
A fox, you could, like, you could probably fend it off. A wolf?
Yeah.
If it turns on you, you're done.
If it gets wild and natural.
Have you seen this video that's going on the news stations where it looks like these two teenage girls, maybe there's more, with their family members, and they're out somewhere, and they notice these black bear cubs in tree branches, and they go out and
they're
pull
pulling
these
on it.
Cubs
yes.
off the tree branches so that they can take
yes.
pictures with them. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I'm sure PETA's already all over it.
They were considering charging them.
Yeah,
for
they shouldn't
crime.
Do that. Where's the mama?
Yeah, well, I'd be scared to do that because the mama would
yeah.
come for you.
Yeah, she would.
I wouldn't
yeah.
want to mess
and
with
those
the
poor
cubs.
Little cubs. Like, they're scared.
Yeah, I saw that picture. Yeah, I saw that video. Oh. Yeah. All right then. Well, I guess that's gonna do it for our depressing aftercast. And thanks for being a potty.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.